guru writing to put Chelsea 1-0 in front.
Off his cheek, got a touch on.
Yeah, there's Trevor Chalobah to head it in for 1-0 to Chelsea.
Ward Kerr, who had to be brave, put a head in where it could have hurt, and she's got her reward.
Big, more clever ball.
Oh, brilliant! What a sensational goal! Timo Werner dumps it in.
Now with that, what an introduction to the game this would be for Bethany England, who fires it into the roof of the net.
Oh, great! Aspilicueta's hit the bar. Chilwell off the post again. What on earth is going on here?
What's up, Blues fans, and welcome to Chelsea Mic'd Up, the official Chelsea FC podcast. I'm Brandon London, coming to you live from New York City.
I'm Emily, and I'm typically coming to you from Chicago, but I'm an NHL reporter, and it's right before the NHL season, so I'm in Seattle this week.
I'm Andre, and I'm here in Silver Spring, Maryland, around D.C. I was in Peru last week. It feels great to be back. But awesome, Mr. Bruce.
Thanks, Andre. Not jealous at all. Just going on record to say that. Hi, I'm Lee. I'm normally at either Stamford Bridge or Cotton. Today, I'm actually back in Surrey working from home. So glad to be here.
Glad to have the gang back together. And first and foremost, Andre, you can never take a vacation again during
yeah,
the season. Because when you were gone, things were a little shaky. You know what I mean? things were a little shaky. So I'm glad that you're back from Peru. If you guys have listened to this podcast before when we had Tony Rudiger on, in the words of Tony Rudiger and Christian Pulisic, dude, what a weekend for both the men and the women, both with 3-1 victories. Again, Andre, you cannot take another week off because the entire match against Southampton was intense. And to all my people in the States, all those who say, I don't watch soccer, believe me, this was the match that could make you into a soccer fan. Believe that. In today's episode, you're going to hear from the man himself, Timo Werner. You're going to hear from Emma Hayes and all four of us as we take a deep dive into last weekend's matches. And we're going to give you what to expect while the men are on international break. And we love it when you all submit your questions in the CMU mailbag. So we've got some answers for them. So let's talk about what went down in London on Saturday. Now, 62% possession with 20 shots on goal. Yeah, 20 shots on goal. The Blues obviously looked a bit different from the previous week with Chile, Chalobah, Timo, Loftus-Cheek all starting, the Mount coming in. Now, the energy was there like it hadn't been last week. I think we can all agree on that. And that Loftus-Cheek assist on that Chalobah goal, OMG. Now, our academy boys are playing on another level. And then we had James Ward-Prowse getting a red card that changed the dynamic of the game, and it created more space for Timo and Chilwell, and our boys deliver. Now, Timo really put in work this match. I have to give him props. The man has gone through all types of adversity, and now he had a goal disallowed before the half, making it 16 disallowed goals. Yes, 16, ladies and gentlemen. So I think I speak for all Blues fans everywhere saying his goal was much deserved. Here's what the man of the match himself had to say about it.
As you can hear, the fans adore you. What does that mean to you to have a reception like this?
A lot. I think they always stay behind me, behind the team. I think they want to push me. They want to that I play my best level here, as I did it in the past. So yeah, the best thing I can do is to give my best to try every game to make them happy.
And the women were off to a quick start in their match against Brighton. Brighton fired it past the keeper just 9 minutes after play. And let's all be honest, it's not a Chelsea's women's match without my BFF, Sam Kerr, scoring. Come on now. Now, she got a header before the half, making the goal her fifth on the season. Yeah, she's balling. And then Beth England came off the bench and made an instant impact, scoring the team's third goal and securing all 3 points. Like we say every week, this team's got depth deeper than one can imagine. Now, here's what the boss, Emma Hayes, had to say about the match.
I thought we managed the game really well. Two well-timed goals, especially the second one for half-time. I thought, yeah, to break Brighton down, it requires a combination of patience, good movement in the right spaces. I thought we kept good energy to our possession. I thought at half-time it was a calm dressing room, maybe too calm in hindsight because I thought we didn't start the second half well enough. I thought the impact from the bench was tremendous. So happy for Beth came into the game when she didn't get a lot of chances the other night and really, I think, stayed present to perform, a big moment. The team really needed that third goal. So, again, the impact from the bench has been the difference.
And it's that time of year again, ladies and gentlemen. FIFA 22 ratings are officially out. And every year, club teams put out video content of players reacting to their rating. And every year, some guys are pleased with the ratings and some feel like they're just straight up disrespected. Take a listen how Pulisic and Alonso react.
That's a decent card, that.
Alonso is rated 79 in FIFA 22. Best left back in the Premier League this season. EA need to provide a ratings update ASAP.
True.
True, no?
That's fair.
Pulisic finally given a rare gold card in FIFA 22. About time, EA.
It's about time, EA.
So let's get right into this. Emily kicks off.
I'm going to bring you some of my expertise from hockey. In hockey, there's a stat we keep track of, and it's called shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. And basically, if a guy has under like a 10 shooting percentage, it means that he's got terrible puck luck. And I remember talking to a coach about it once of like, what do you do when you're that, when the guy's that low? And he's like, well, guys go one of two ways. They either freak out and they're like, what's going on? And they change everything about their game. Or they trust the process, they know they're doing something right, and eventually those goals will come. And I couldn't help but thinking about puck luck and shooting percentage when it came to Timo Werner, because 16 goals disallowed in his career at Chelsea so far. Lee, you corrected us earlier. It's not all VAR goals, but a lot of them have been VAR. It's been pretty incredible to watch him because he keeps going at it and he still has belief in himself. And I think that the goal that he scored this past weekend was so richly deserved, and you saw it on his face. And I just think his puck luck's about to turn around.
He looked like a man on a mission, didn't he? From the first whistle. He was just... And I think that's one of the reasons that Chelsea supporters just absolutely love him. He's become a cult hero at Stamford Bridge and around the world already because of that. And people love players that have their heart on a sleeve. And like, he runs and he tries and the effort. It sounds patronising to say that, but the work ethic, the work rate is phenomenal. The goal that we thought, you know, his first goal was a good one. And then we're going to talk about VAR later, I know. But then so well-deserved to get that second one. Ross Barkley's diagonal ball, the first touch from Aspi, the finish. It was a thing of beauty in the rain at the bridge. And, you know, we can't have enough Depeche Mode songs. And I think the fans singing, it's one of those things that gets stuck in your head. And I was sat in the car like a lunatic driving home, just singing it to myself.
I want to talk about that Ross Barkley pass, because that was incredible. The sideline angle of that pass, you see the ball, it's basically, I don't even know how he hit it that flat. And it's just, it's incredible how it just dove right onto Azpilicueta's foot so it could be a first time assist. Like, that whole move was just gorgeous. And watching it in real time was incredible. It's like, it's one of those goals that happens in a blank and you're like, that just happened. And for me, like Emily mentioned, with VAR taking away so many of Timo's goals, my first reaction was, you can't take that one away. Like, you cannot. Please do not ever take that one away because it was too gorgeous.
You think about Timo Werner, what he's done. He's been involved in more goals than any Chelsea player since Thomas Tuchel took over. He's had more touches in the opposition box at 176. And out of all Chelsea players since Thomas Tuchel has taken over, he has more shots on target. But like you said, Lee, the man is working. The man is all over the place. And when you read these type of stats, you realize, hey, it's only a matter of time till a guy like that gets his luck back in that goal.
It's hard to put your finger on it. It just seems to really click at the moment. The profile of this squad just seems to tick so many boxes at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've all been kind of waiting for Chile and kind of sad that he's been kind of left out, it's felt like. And honestly, when he gave away the penalty, I was like, oh no, I think I put my own head in my hands. Like, I was like, oh, come on. Like, I'm not going to see him again until like January. I was so scared. But then he redeems himself. You know, obviously they score, but then he gets that goal. He actually had a really composed match, a good match, even before the penalty and after the penalty. So I think he rebounded well. And I do think that it is important that Tuchel lets everyone know that, like, we're going to need you. Like, even look at the lineup, you know, Chalobah comes back in. Ruben Loftus-Cheek showed how good he was, you know, at playing in that midfield role in Tuchel's system, and he gets a start in the Premier League. And so you're seeing Tuchel be able to give these chances and not afraid to give these chances so other players know that they're a part of the collective. And that's what's so difficult to do. Doesn't seem like it'd be difficult because the team basically plays like three times a week most of the time. So it seems like it should be easy enough, but it's hard because you always have the expectation to win every match. And so it's difficult to say, you know, to move around and say, okay, I'm going to give everybody a chance, even though this may not be my 100% preferred 11, but you need everybody.
I'm going to bore you with a quick stat. Defenders scoring goals for Chelsea, really stepping up. So Chalobah has two in the Premier League. Alonso, James, Silva, Chilwell, Rudiger all have a goal to their name as well. So that's seven between them. Arsenal's entire squad have scored five. Spurs have six. Just leaving it there.
Also, just like to speak of our depth, we have 12 different goal scorers in just seven matches so far in the Premier League. Like, that's insane.
It was a really good performance. Difficult conditions. I know I was talking before we started recording about the rain. It was torrential. So it made for a very slick surface, shall we say. So it was challenging. But honestly, after the week they had to put in that performance, to win in the way they did, I think kudos to Thomas. Kudos to the players as well.
The rain makes it better for goal celebrations. I mean,
yes, knee slides.
Slides are knee slides. Out of control. Like, I just want to go through a grocery store and just slide, like, oh, half off a shrimp. Like, unreal. So, all right, let's put that game to bed because we got Chelsea women. Andre, we've missed you. So, give us the rundown. Chelsea women, 3-1. What a game.
Oh, I was kind of concerned from this match, to be honest. You know, new formation. Brighton was the only team to beat Chelsea in the league last season. But then, you know, early on in the match, 9 minutes in, Gua Wrighton gets a goal and, of course, an assist from Fran Kirby. She loved doing that so much, she decided to do it two more times and got a hat trick of assists. I don't understand how she's able to do what she does, especially if you know Fran Kirby's story a little bit. I won't go through the whole thing, but she's been through a whole lot in her career. There's been a lot written about it, so you definitely should read a little bit about her. And what she's gone through. But the fact that she came back from the illness that she had and was in just stellar form starting from last season, and that form has continued. I think she already has five assists, I think, and two goals already this season. I mean, this is an absurd level of play, an absurd standard of play. And she just drops a hat trick of assists because she's Fran Kirby and she can do those things.
I felt bad, Andre. We were talking about her last week. And as we were talking about, I was in Turin talking about
her. I missed
it. And there was like a little guy on my shoulder going, Andre's going to be cross. And honestly, because I know how much you love her. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a phenomenal story, isn't it? And if you haven't had the chance, go and have a look at there's a Chelsea Pride film about Fran on the Fifth Stand.
Yes.
Because we were saying last week that it's a film script, isn't it, Andre? You know, someone's going to write a movie about this incredible young woman.
I'm so glad that she's on Chelsea, and I'm so glad that she's in form. You know, she really deserved to, whatever she wanted to do, you know, given what she's been through, it'd be fine. The fact that she dedicates herself to this club and plays the way she does is just, I mean, it's a bonus, and it's incredible to watch on the pitch. She is a fantastic player.
Talking about fantastic players, I will continue to remind Brandon that I told him, Sam Kerr is your girl. Follow Sam Kerr. She's got the swag. Five goals already in four matches, which is pretty incredible. She's just a natural finisher. But this was a big win. Brighton had started the season really strong. Next week, we play a team that's, you know, at the bottom of the table. It's not a give me game or whatever. But this team is good and they've got depth. And it seems like Lauren James is inching her way back. And of course, as Emma Hayes says, she's inching her way back close to competing for a spot. But we know she's talented. I think she's going to compete pretty well and earn that spot.
And we saw today that Maren Mjelde is back as well. So that's also an incredible thing. You know, we have switched the formation. So it'll be interesting to see where she slots in, whether she's going to be like a right-sided center back or she's going to play a wing back that's more kind of familiar to a fullback role that she played the last time she was out. So yeah, I'm really excited, really happy for her. You could tell how much the team really loves her.
Talking of class players, Pernilla Harder, we've spoken about her before. She's just a joy to watch. She just, her ability to glide, I don't know how she does it. She glides around a pitch. She's phenomenal.
I didn't take too many breaks to check social media while I was in Peru, but the one thing I did see was her goal against Manchester United, and I about fainted because that's the Pernilla Harder that I love. She was that player so much for Wolfsburg, which is obviously why we wanted to sign her. And to see her do something like that in Chelsea colors to Manchester United made me extreme. Like, y'all gotta, y'all, please go watch that goal. Cause it's just, I know, yeah, before I left, I talked about disrespectful goals. That was disrespectful. She just dribbled through their whole defense and just chipped the keeper. That's like right in my heart. That goes right in my heart.
I love how each week Emily has the whole Lauren James countdown till she's on.
I'm ready.
Lauren James, you get love on this podcast.
Do you know what it is? It's those damn commercials they play for Barclays with her and her brother right before all the Premier League games here that just pull my heartstrings. And I'm like, damn, I want to root for this family.
I mentioned earlier about FIFA 22 coming out. The players, that video, absolutely hilarious. And I mean, even I do the same thing with the Giants players when the Madden ratings come out. So y'all, thoughts on that? Because Lukaku being an 88 overall, I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah, and I feel like he didn't have the guy that had the most grudge. I mean, firstly, Mason Mount did, because at the end of the video, you see him literally put it in the bin. He's like, I'm done with this. I don't need to see this anymore. I like their honesty, though. Like, I like how Kai Havertz is like, how did I go down a point? That's some BS. And he just had no time for it. Jorginho also had no time for it. So I appreciate it because it shows that they're hungry. They show that they know that it's always like this. Mendy, though, remains my biggest snub. What is he, like an 82 or 83? And that's just, as Andre would say, the most disrespect.
But you're right. It just shows how competitive these guys are in everything they do. They do. And you can see that. And it is interesting. My son plays it now. And he'll say, hang on a minute. And he's asking me about the ratings. I don't have anything to do with them, mate. I really don't. But it's fascinating. It really is. And I love watching their reactions when it comes to the big reveal each year. It's hilarious.
I think Hudson-Odoi's pace, I think he mentioned that. It was way too low. That kid is really, really quick. But the thing that I really like, the thing that I really took away is Pulisic. He said, that's a decent card, that. Y'all indoctrinated him already. What is going on? How in the world? Where did that phrase come from?
Hey, we gave Lee Bougie, so we took one.
I've used that in conversation several times.
We're it out. So I'm gonna give you guys some ratings in terms of Chelsea storytelling. Lee, you're a 92 for sure.
Oh, thanks. I'm writing it down. I love that.
Yeah. Andre, in terms of your wild tweets, you're a 95 for sure. For sure. Emily, your locations are 93, because every time we do a podcast, you are at another part of the United States. So
love it. I'll give y'all
some of those ratings there.
And I've got work to do. 92. I need to work on this.
Throw it in a bin,
Lee.
Just throw it in a bin.
Yeah. Just pull a Mason.
Yeah. I'm going to start making up stories now. No, I won't. That's a lie. I won't.
All right, so let's start looking ahead a little bit, because we've got our second international break of the year in the Premier League coming up. We're actually on that now. And the women are back in the Champions League with only one goal in mind, and that's to win it all. That's not their only match this week, as we said. Sunday, the women face off versus Leicester City. So, Lee, start us off, man. Men international break. Give us some insight. Who are we hoping to be ready to come back after break? Could it be Reece, Pulisic? Let us know.
Oh, man, these international breaks, they come around so fast, don't they? We have these truncated sort of 3-4 week periods with 6 or 7 high-profile games. You know, it's so congested, and you go from game to game to game. Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, right, nothing for 2 weeks. You mentioned Reece James there, Brandon. I saw him briefly on Friday after the press conference, and Thomas Tuchel obviously said publicly there that he wouldn't be fit enough to join up with England squad. That's certainly the case. But he is feeling better, which is great. Not able to train outside yet, but certainly getting better. He was busy in the pool doing some gym work. So fingers crossed we see him sooner rather than later. And the case is the same for Christian Pulisic as well. Obviously still suffering some discomfort with that injury. But we hope that this break has come at a good time so he can sort of continue with his rehabilitation. Big personality, big player. Hopefully get him back soon. And it's incredible to think, actually, that with the amount of games that we've enjoyed already and after a busy summer, I don't want to jinx anything, but on the injury front, things could be a lot worse. You know, it's not looking too bad. Get these boys back, try and get everyone back fit and healthy after the international break. We know that we're going to be missing Thiago Silva for the Brentford game because he's going to be away with Brazil. He flies back on the day of that match, so he will then have to isolate due to the COVID restrictions. So we will miss him initially. But, you know, again, fingers crossed, touch wood, whatever I can find. That the injury situation at the moment isn't looking too bad, is it?
The sooner he can get back, the better. right? Like this team is already finding a lot of different combinations of players that work really well together. And he's got to get in there. He's got to find a group. He's got to be part of the unit and figure out his place and how to the playing style. And he doesn't play with Lukaku. So there's obviously a difference in how the team is playing versus how they played last season when they didn't have a target number nine there. So I'm really excited to see him back. I really think he needs to get back and get some games in, especially with the team. So we do have quite a few fixtures. Hopefully he's fit enough to get into it, to appear in a few, because we really need to start seeing it now.
I'm just stuck on seeing Reece James in a picture with Drake. And I'm just like, man, come on back. Cause you a superstar to me, bro. I don't care what you do on the pitch. You just had a picture with Drake. So you know, sorry, I couldn't give any X's and O's or any in-depth analyst there, but you know,
Brandon, use your connections. Let's get Drake on the podcast.
Let's do it. All right, for the women, Leicester City. Could this be a trap match, though?
This is one of those things, isn't it? And Emma Hayes has spoken about this recently, that the level of competition throughout the Women's Super League is just getting better and better and better. And Andre, I know you've been watching a lot of the women's games this season. You're right, actually, Brandon. It's one of those where they will be desperate not to take this game for granted. It comes hot off the heels of the Wolfsburg test. So there will be a lot of tired legs there. But then I think it comes back to that strength in depth that we've already touched on earlier in this podcast, that Emma Hayes does have options. So if she does need to freshen things up, there are certainly options there. And yeah, it'll be another tough game, but they're building momentum. They are looking good. They're looking strong. It's interesting. It's early days to sort of see how this WSL table is shaping up. Arsenal looking pretty immense already. Tottenham have started very well. Emma Hayes will not want Chelsea to let their foot off the gas at all. So, an opportunity here to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think this would be a trap game under normal circumstances and for like a normal team, I'll put quote unquote normal team. But this Chelsea team, and Emma Hayes has said it a lot last season, is ruthless. That's kind of what she wants to instill in the team, is just make them ruthless, go out and dominate, control the match, score a bunch of goals. But, you know, making sure we keep pace with Arsenal in the league is going to be very important. So you can't mess around and drop points against a team like Leicester. You have to get all three. And I think they will.
You guys got to check out this feature on the Fifth Stand app. It's called the Chelsea's Play Predictor game. I played a couple times. I'm not good at it at all. So during Chelsea matches this season, you can make predictions about the final score, the first goal score, number of shots, all that. You can go up against some of your friends and your fans, or you can go up against us and tell us how well you did to predict the Blues' performance. Make sure you guys go download the Fifth Stand app today, and we're going to do it for the Chelsea's women's match. Predictions.
6-0.
Six.
Ooh.
See how cocky we've become with this Chelsea women's
match? Okay, we scored 6 goals before. This is a team that, yes, has ownership investment and is probably on the upswing, but has not won a match in the Super League yet. Mm. I like 6-0. We got swag.
I think you're going to see a bit of rotation against Leicester City. Should still get the win. I'm not going to go 6, but I'm going to go 4. 4-0. I don't think Leicester's going
to score. Oh, he was in Peru too long.
Oh, I'm going to predict a win. I'm going to predict a 4-1 win.
I'm just going to go 5-1. You know, I want a clean sheet, but at the same time, I can't sound like one of those people that's just like, oh, yeah, they're just going to
run 6-0.
I can't call the bookie and put in a 6-0, you know? Like, I can't. Now's the time that we get to hear from you guys, because it's mailbag time. And we're going to start with a question from SignPari318 on Twitter. It says, Tuchel is obviously an excellent coach, but his highly cerebral style scheme seemed to hinder the offense at times, holding back great scores. Would Chelsea be a higher scoring team if the players were allowed to be free? First and foremost, I love all the Scrabble words you used in that tweet there. So someone jump in.
It's something that I think you touched on last week, Brandon, when you said titles are won with a solid defense. I should say defense. It's my English coming through. Defense. Apologies. But I think the way that Thomas sets his teams up, attacking players are being given opportunities. And we saw that against Southampton. That was case in point, I think. I think one of the issues, as Thomas alluded to at the weekend, is that some teams now are working out working out how to frustrate Chelsea. We saw two different approaches with Manchester City and Juventus. Manchester City with this like swarm mentality. Juventus very different, sat back, low block, five at the back. And then it was very sort of frustrating. And then I think that's kind of where you see that tactical acumen from the boss. When you see him introducing players like Ruben Loftus-Cheek, somebody said after the Juventus game, they said, why didn't you bring Timo Werner on? I said, well, it wasn't the space because Juventus played with such a low block. So you have a different profile of player, which again, we've spoken about the strength in depth. So a player like a Ross Barkley, like a Ruben Loftus-Cheek can turn and run at players and scare them as opposed to necessarily looking for spaces so in behind. I think it lends itself to the boss's tactical acumen, and he does have options, and there are opportunities for that. I mean, we spoke earlier in this episode, didn't we, about the chances created against Southampton. So they are coming and they are gelling. And I know I'm forever the optimist, but I think there is I'm not going to use an English phrase that I was going to use there, but I think someone's in line for a thrashing in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, he said thrashing.
Yeah. Can you have that? Is that an American thing?
Yeah, or you could say thrashing.
Oh, yeah, that was
thrashing.
Cool. That was triple world score.
I think the team is creating chances. I do think that they're learning, of course, where the spaces are, how to play with one another. As I mentioned earlier, you know, playing with Lukaku is very different. You know, you actually have a target number nine, figuring out how to use him, how to run off of him, do those kinds of things. I do think that, you know, the team has a lot to kind of figure out. It is still early in the season, even though it seems like they've played 100 matches already. But I don't see that Tuchel is holding back great scores. I think that's being pretty harsh and pretty unfair to him, because I do think that what he allows the team to do is defend very well. And typically when managers defend very well, they usually do it with a bunch of numbers. But he's doing it with scheme and the ability of the defenders to be able to organize and read play very well, which allows the midfielders and the attackers a lot more freedom than I think you're actually seeing. You may not be seeing it the number of goals just yet. That's why I think Lee is right. You're going to see some pretty big score lines because the players are getting more familiar. The chances are coming. We've seen a lot of goals, even in the Southampton match. There's a goal that shouldn't have been taken away. There are a lot of goals that could have been put in the back of the net even beforehand. So, you know, it's just a matter of sharpening, being a little bit more clinical. But yeah, I think everything's doing quite all right. And I don't have any concerns that Tuchel is really holding back any goal scorers. I think give it a bit and you'll see.
Up next, we have Taylor Ball from the great state of Virginia. Let's do it. It says, Dear Lee, how was the food in Turin, Italy?
Ooh. Ooh, I've got a confession to make. I didn't leave the hotel. In my defense, because of the COVID restrictions, we're very restricted as to what we can and can't do. We could go out for a run, definitely. I might have forgotten my trainers. So I stayed in the hotel. The food was fantastic. We were very well looked after. However, my wife was appalled when I came home and I said, I didn't eat pizza, didn't eat pasta, but I can't complain. I'll do better next time, I promise.
What did you eat?
We had McDonald's.
Okay, right. I've got to remember that. I had salt cod on the Tuesday night, which was okay. After we recorded the podcast. And then I had fillet steak before the game on the Wednesday. So not too bad.
Okay, so can't complain. Well, you just didn't eat it.
Yeah, this is it. I didn't. Yeah, exactly. but I'm not going to complain.
Emily, I'm a little upset that Andre was in Peru, Lee was in Italy, and we don't have any wine from either country. We could have done a wine tasting during this podcast right now, you know?
You see how our friends take care of us. Yeah. Maybe they're not our friends.
He's getting bougie again.
Getting real bougie real fast.
Can we do wine tasting on a podcast?
Why not?
We can do whatever we
Sorry,
want on
rhetorical
a podcast.
Question. Of course we can. Yeah.
Oh, man. So as a reminder, you all can always send in your questions each week by tagging at ChelseaFC in USA. With the hashtag CMU mailbag, there are so many good questions in the mailbag today. It was hard to pick, but keep them coming. All right, guys, it's that time where I ask for our final parting thought.
Not only are we at the top of the table, but we have the highest expected goals while also allowing the fewest goals in three, tied with Man City. So I think that portends for a lot of future success.
Having a bit of a break during the international break. However, my kids won't let me have too much time to myself. I'm under pressure to win the Champions League for my seven-year-old on FIFA 22. So that's going to take up a lot of time over the next couple of days. As is some painting and decorating, but I digress. Can't wait for it to come back. Couple of weeks' time, Brentford away. That is, yeah, that's going to be a heck of a game. Really like what Brentford have done so far this season. And then we get into it again. Another crazy run of games. But it's what we love about this job. It's the perk of the job. Love it. Bring back the Champions League. Bring back the Premier League. Bring on the Carabao Cup. Whew. Let's go.
It is a lot. The one thing I wanted to give a little love, or a lot of love, to Bethany England. She's the one who scored the third goal against Brighton. And Emma Hayes talked about the depth of the team. I just like Bethany England seems to be one of those players that is just like truly like Chelsea blue. Like she's been on loan to start her career. You know, she's on loan. She had a good season at Liverpool when she was on loan. Came back, proved that she could be the number nine. Then Sam Kerr came in and she kind of took a step back, didn't get as many starts, but still effective every time she's on the pitch. I have a little fun fact stat that I love to throw out there is that Fran Kirby, of course, last season was first in league assist. Who was number two? It was Bethany England. She just contributes goals. She's incredible. And scoring that third goal, it was important. It was 2-1 at the time, and it was important to be able to make sure that Chelsea could get all 3 points, as we said. Got to keep pace. So I really love Bethany England. Love her story. Love her celebrations, too. I don't think anybody celebrates harder than Bethany England after she scores a goal. So, yeah, I'm a big fan and love that she's back and scoring goals.
Nice. And I got to give a shout-out to Timo Werner for sure. Just keep shooting, bro. Keep playing. Keep that mental toughness going, because every athlete goes through some sort of adversity in a sense, whether, like we say, you're missing shots or you go through a slump in baseball, or as a wide receiver in football, you drop passes. But the biggest thing about it, the legends come out of it on top, because they just face that adversity right dead in the face, and they just continue to play at a high level or continue to create chances and opportunities for themselves. So shoot or shoot, man, and keep going, because not only do you have your coach, your teammates behind you, which is, you know, pretty much the most important thing, but you got the organization and you got a fan base behind you as well. So keep going, man. We can't wait to see how you continue to progress and finish this season. I think we can all breathe a sigh of relief with those dominant performances by both not only the men, but the women this week. And fans, please don't forget to watch the women play Leicester City, which is available to stream here in the U.S. on NBCSports.com. It's not always all about the men. I mean, it's an organization thing. When you bleed blue, what I'm learning, Lee, when you bleed blue, it's for both clubs. It's for the organization. There's a culture behind it. So as we continue to help try and grow that brand here in the United States, we have to get behind the full culture of this organization, of this club team. And you can find anything and everything on Chelsea through the Fifth Stand app. Remember, play the play predictor. Go up against us. And when it comes to this podcast, this Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast, don't you dare forget to subscribe, rate, review. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell their mama, because we want blue flags flying high across America. Once again, thank you for joining us. We'll see you all next week. And let's go Blues.